This podcast contains content that may be disturbing to some listeners. Check the episode description for more details and resources. And please, take care of yourself.
The school tried Zora first. When they couldn't reach her at work, they called me. I walked in on Marina sitting on a chair in the principal's office with her arms crossed, kicking her legs. I knelt in front of her.
What happened, Bunny?
Leslie said you weren't a good mom, so I punched her.
My gut twisted. Leslie Rogers and Marina had been close since preschool. We used to carpool with her parents.
Why did she say that?
She said that her mom said.
She stared at her knees, lightly scarred from half a dozen falls on the playground.
You know that punching Leslie was wrong, though, right? Marina, I need you to tell me you know that punching Leslie was a bad thing to do.
I know.
She still wouldn't look at me. I turned back to the principal.
Can I take her home?
Principal Franklin nodded, and I took Marina's hand. We stopped at the park on the way home. I got Marina an ice cream cone, and we sat on the bench by a running path.
Marina, can you tell me why you got so upset with Leslie today?
I told you. She called you a bad mom.
I know, sweetheart, but why did that bother you so much?
Because she doesn't get to.
Well, next time, what can we do instead?
Use my words.
And what can we say to Leslie?
That's not nice.
Awesome.
I raised my hand and she gave me a high five, her fingers sticky with chocolate. She licked her cone and looked around.
I don't think you're a bad mom. I just wish you didn't have to go away.
Me too, baby. But I'm back now, and I'm here to love you and lecture you and do all the mom things, okay?
Maybe not lecture.
Sorry, kiddo. It's part of the job.
Fine, I guess. Can we go to the playground?
How about this weekend?
She tilted her head, considering it. Then she stuck out her hand, and we shook on it.
Deal.
Zora knocked so softly on the bedroom door, I wouldn't have heard it, except that my music happened to stop at just the right moment. I took my headphones out.
You don't have to knock. It's your room, too.
Can we talk?
Yeah. Of course.
Terry came by today, before you came home with Marina from the park.
Is Kim okay?
No worse than she's been. She's just sleeping a lot, recovering from the hospital. We talked, for a long time, actually. He cried a lot. He said he didn't know how he was supposed to watch his wife die.
She might not die.
Sadie, she's not doing well. He just doesn't... He wants her not to be sick. But that isn't gonna happen.
Why are you telling me this?
We talked for a long time, and I think I realized a lot of his feelings I might have, well, had, no, I know they are, about when you went to the hospital, and I know it isn't fair, and I love you so much, you have to know how much I love you. There were just days when it was really hard, and I feel like such a shitty fucking person for feeling like this. For having felt like this.
It's not your fault.
I know, but it's not yours either. Which is what makes it so... If there was someone I could blame, you know? I never thought about not wanting to be with you, of course. I just thought about what it might be like if...
If I never got sick.
Yeah. Exactly. But you have to know, I'd never trade a day of sick you for a healthy someone else.
I know. It sucks to hear this, but I'm glad you told me.
I've been thinking, maybe I could start seeing someone too, for therapy.
I really like that idea. At least to try it.
Maybe. Could you see if Rosa knows anyone?
Of course.
Moms!
We both turned to the doorway. Marina stood there in her cocoa pajamas, her hair sticking up at odd angles.
What's going on, buddy?
I had a bad dream. Can I sleep here?
Of course.
Did you have a bad dream too, Mama?
Mm-hmm. But now you and your other mom are here, and everything is okay.
She put Marina down in our bed, and I crawled in next to her. I fell asleep holding my wife and daughter in my arms. Kim nearly fell asleep at the table more than once, but she insisted on being there for her weekly dinner date with Rodney. She had invited me, and I liked Rodney. But really, I went because I thought Kim might crash the car if I let her drive on her own. When her head drifted onto my shoulder for a third time at the table, she snapped to attention, startled.
She's stubborn. I told her we didn't have to do this while she was recovering from freaking pneumonia.
It's tradition.
You can't talk her out of anything when she's made up her mind. I've tried.
What do you do, Sadie?
I'm a writer. I'm working part-time right now at a library. I taught creative writing, but I went into inpatient treatment last year for depression.
Nothing more depressing than being locked up for depression.
The waitress came over with a dessert menu and glanced at the table. The half-eaten sandwich on Rodney's plate and the half-drunk coffee in front of Kim. I was the only one who had finished my salad.
Can I get you anything else?
Just the check, please. I'll take this to go.
She took the sandwich and my plate. Rodney waited until she was gone before he said,
I had to do something like that once. The first time I had cancer, I ended up addicted to morphine. Almost worse than the disease.
You went to rehab?
Mm-hmm. Shaking and hot flashes and all that. Yeah, you can die from too much of that shit. Your heart stops and you just don't wake up.
I'm sorry.
What for? You didn't give me too much morphine.
Sadie apologizes too much. It's her least attractive quality.
Ha ha.
The waitress came by with a check and a sandwich. Rodney grabbed the check.
My turn.
I can pay for
it. You'll pay for it next time.
If there is a next time.
She put her head against the wall and closed her eyes. Since the pneumonia, she lost more weight. She was paler, too, as though she hadn't seen the sun in weeks. I tore my eyes away from her face and looked back at Rodney.
Sounds good.
High school's hard, but not all of it is painful. You don't have real dates to the senior prom, so you go with friends, a group of misfits collected through the years. Talia wears yellow, a color you didn't even know you liked until you see her in it. You remember her hair down and the way the dress twists around the shoulders at the top. You wear purple that night, a color across on the wheel you had studied in art class. The music is nearly just as loud on the first floor as it is on the second, where the real party is. You and several of your friends sneak away and claim your space, dancing wildly where no one watches. You run across the linoleum tiles and yell the lyrics to overplayed pop songs as they come on over the loudspeakers. You dance together, with your hands clumsily placed on the other's body, one of yours on a hip and one on a shoulder. You scream Avril Lavigne and Jimmy Eat World in each other's faces until your lungs give out. Later, you take the car to Brighton Beach and watch the sun rise over the water. You sit back against the sand and soak it in, a moment on the razor-thin edge between childhood and the real world. You lay your head in a friend's lap while some of the others dance on the shore to no music, just off-key lyrics they belt themselves. When you eventually go back to the psych hospital, not one of these friends will visit. When I try to talk about something serious, Talia wouldn't answer my texts. When I asked her about our friendship over the phone, she would suddenly have to go. Finally, we met in person at her house on Long Island.
Chamomile or vanilla?
Chamomile. How are things?
You know, busy, busy. I might be up for a promotion, actually.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
How are things with Mark?
Most nights, she stayed at his place. She'd let me know how special it was that she'd stayed home for me. She looked around as though he might appear from the shadows at any moment. Finally, she leaned forward.
I think he's going to propose.
Oh, wow. Are you... Would you say yes?
Yes, of course. I'm really happy.
I waited, but she never asked me about my life. I sipped my tea as she went on about Mark's parents and how they really loved her and how, of course, they would live here, but maybe they'd get married in California because that's where he's from.
That's really great.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I'm happy for you, Tal.
And you'll be in the wedding party, of course.
Oh, I will?
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't you be?
You didn't even come to my wedding.
Talia froze, like she had forgotten and was trying to recall that hazy time in her life during which I'd been happy.
Oh, I couldn't. You remember?
No, actually. You never told me why you didn't come.
The pause between us should have made me uncomfortable. I found myself maintaining eye contact even when Talia tried to pull away. After a minute.
I didn't?
No, you didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it kind of hurt.
Well, that's all in the past though, right?
Actually, not really. Why didn't you come see me in the psych hospital?
I told you it was really hard.
You know what? It was harder on me. And Zora. And other people who love me.
I know that.
My friend Kim has cancer. She's dying, and she still makes time for me. She asks me how I am and actually cares about the answer. She stops me when I tell her everything is okay and makes me tell her the truth because I matter to her.
You matter to me. How could you even say that?
Because you haven't shown it. Talia, it didn't even occur to me that I would be in your wedding party.
You're one of my best friends, of course.
No. You don't get to make excuses anymore. I'm done with that.
Sadie, what are you saying?
I'm saying I'm done making time for you if you won't make time for me. Do you realize I've been here for an hour and you never once asked how I am? That's because you're happy. And you don't want to talk about things that aren't happy.
Fuck you.
Fine. I hope it's a beautiful wedding.
Thank you.